start my timer here just so I don't
started for 45 minutes.
Van is trying to get out of his spot. Yeah. I'm Ann. I'm an addict. First of all, I want to thank the committee for asking me to speak today, although I tried to get out of this spot because I haven't done H&I for like a really long time. I can't say really long, but not really been an active part of an H&I committee. I know my experience with H&I came from, I don't know if any of you have the same story I do, but like I got arrested and I went to jail. And they really didn't have a lot when I was in there, and I didn't get the opportunity that a lot of people were afforded when I started doing H&I. But I probably had about 3 or 4 years clean when somebody asked me if I wanted to go into the jails and take a meeting. And I'm like, well, yeah, I probably know most of them, you know. I was still young in recovery. But so I did go ahead and I started doing that. And it used to be like things have gotten so complicated nowadays, you know. But like back in the old days, they were like, okay, you want to go in? We'll just put your name on the list, you know. You went in. You know, you didn't have to do all this stuff you have to do today. And then I had experience where I actually became part of the H&I committee. I might have even been an H&I chair at one point. I can't even remember. I'm getting old, so you got to forgive me. I've been around NA for a number of years. I got clean back in 91, so I've done a lot. I've done a lot. And the one thing I won't ever do again is be the area chair. I'm just telling you right now. I might do H&I again, but not area. Anyway, not saying that that's bad. It's just that I have control issues, and as a chair, I like to be very controlling. So anyway, we started bringing meetings into Hillside over here in Prescott. I'm from the other side of the hill, so we started bringing meetings into Hillside, and I'd come over and I'd do that once a month. And we took meetings into the jail for the women. And I also was part of a committee that we set up. We started in our area over on the other side, and I think it was in the 2000s. We started taking like meetings and panels into the high school, which was really cool, because I know that's not like a jail or an institution, but it's kind of, they think it is, you know. But because of what we did, that was kind of, we kind of bordered on the P&I, H&I thing, and we kind of worked together and took some meetings into the high school. So I was really grateful that early in my recovery, I was able to learn about other ways that I could give back to a program that had given me so much. And I think I'm done, Vander. No, I'm just joking. But it had given, it really did. It gave me a lot. I will tell you that when I first got here, I didn't stick. You know, I came in on probation. I don't know if anybody else relates, but yeah, I was on probation for 3 or 4 years. I don't even remember. The last 6 months of my probation, I did on intensive. I did everything as backwards. So. And the reason I got clean was I had that 6 months to actually let my head clear. I started actually listening in meetings instead of thinking about what I was going to do after the meeting. So for me, being able to give back to a community that had done so much for me. And I'm not just talking about the NA program itself, but I'm talking about like the probation officers. You know, we love them so much. I did. I loved my last probation officers. I thought they were amazing. But the community itself had given me so much. And when I got clean, I thought about, because I was the drug dealer in town, and I thought about, so how many lives were lost because of the drugs that I dealt. How many lives, you know, and I had no idea. I mean, I had no idea what kids might have gotten a hold of it. I had no idea what, I really didn't. Until I got into the program, I had no idea the magnitude of, you know, what I did, which was dealing drugs, to the community. And so one of the big things that my sponsor and I talked about at the time was being able to give back. And in that is where H&I came in. And it was being able to go into to the women's meeting in the jail was probably the biggest thing for me. And I was still doing it up until about maybe 2-3 years ago. I would still go in once in a while. It wasn't like an every month thing, but I would still go in if they needed somebody, they didn't have somebody. I believe I'm still on that list and could. But I had started a different venture in life, and so every time I went in, everybody knew me, and they all wanted to talk to me, and in those situations, you can't do that, you know? And so it was really hard for me, and I thought, well, the easiest way for them not to get in trouble, me not to get in trouble, is just to not be there for now. So doesn't mean that I'm not going to do it later on, because I would really like to. And then, of course, we've had our fill this year with COVID-19. Some people have been affected. Some people have not. I've been very grateful that we were just talking before the meeting. I've been very grateful I haven't contracted COVID-19. I have been around numbers of people who have had it. I work in the medical profession, so it's not like, you know, I have a choice. So with the way times are, it's really hard to get in and do these things right now. And I'm feeling a little, you know, I was thinking about it the other day when I was thinking about the fact that I had to come share, and I was thinking about how sad I was that right now it's not being offered, you know, to these poor ladies or guys or whatever. You know, talking to Vanda, he's like, yeah, I still take one into this, you know, I'm like, great, you know, that's awesome. Because in these times, people are so, it's like everything's like, no, you can't do that. No, we're not doing that right now. No, we're, you know, all we hear is no's. So I guess what I'm really hoping for is that, you know, my higher power, I don't know what your higher power is, but I'm really hoping that it kind of gets to the point where we can open that back up and we can go in. I do know that years ago we used to take meetings into the jail in Yavapai County, and it wasn't where it's at now. It was here in Prescott. And when we would go do that, there was like this wall of plexiglass between us. And I thought, well, why can't they set something like that up? You know, why couldn't they do something like that? And they have those walls over there, but I hear they're going to be moving that again. I don't know, but I heard they were going to be moving that again. So, but there are ways around it. It's just what are the institutions willing to do to help maneuver that, you know? But I do know that I've had a lot of people who have talked to me and said, you know, I heard you come in and share while I was sitting in jail. And I just want you to know that, you know, as soon as I got out, I started hitting meetings. And I wanted you to know that I was really grateful to hear what you had to say. And I'm still clean today, you know. And so that to me says, even if I've made a difference in one person's life, through whatever avenue it is, whether it be P&I, H&I, oh, okay, I thought I was going over. Shit, I've only been up here 10 minutes. Sorry. I'm gonna be like, ah. But if I've only made a difference in one person's life in the time that I've been in Narcotics Anonymous, that's a big thing. It's a big thing. I don't have to make a difference in everybody's life. I just have to make a difference in one person's life, because it was one person that made a difference in my life, you know? And that one person might have made a difference in 10 million other lives. I have no idea. I haven't asked. I don't care. I know they made a difference in my life. So if you haven't checked out service, if you haven't done any kind of service work, H&I for me was very, very kind of paying it forward, paying it back. Sorry, getting too close. Paying it forward, paying it back to the community. Because like I said, I didn't know who, you know, had passed or died from the drugs I had, you know, dealing out there on the street. So so that's kind of what it was for me when I got into Agent. I was being able to give back to that community and hopefully make a difference that other people didn't have to die or didn't have to, you know, live that life that we live when we're addicts, right? Had somebody complaining to me just the other day how, you know, well, I've been working my ass off for 15 years and look at what I'm saying. I'm like, well, that's because you got to change. You know, you're the only one that can do that. I can't do that. I can't do that for anybody. I don't have what I have today because I didn't change. You know, I came in here and I worked steps. They have like 12 steps. I don't know if any of you guys know this, but NA has 12 steps. And if you work them, they work. You know, if you work them and you become a part of the greater good for Narcotics Anonymous in your area, that's usually called your area level. And in that area level is where you're going to find different chairs. You got an activities chair. You have a P&I chair. You have an H&I chair. You can be vice chair or you can be chair. Those are just telling you. I've done them a couple times. Don't think I haven't. But I do know that... with as much clean time as I have, I know myself well enough to know that I don't need that kind of control issue anymore, you know. And I tend to still fall into those control issues when I think I've got to run this just a certain way. And I see it with other people too, and I try not to hold it against them. I try not to make it like, and just let them know that it's okay. It doesn't, it's not a big issue. It's not a big, thing. It's just sometimes we have to try and be aware of it, you know. So being aware of myself, I do know that that service is really good, and that no matter what capacity I do service in, it's really good. It could just be sponsoring somebody, you know. It could just be running a meeting. It could just be, you know, reading at a meeting. I mean, sometimes we have to start small. You don't just start and ooh, everything's, you know, you've got it all. We have to start small sometimes. It could be opening the meeting, you know. You're being here and you're the one that opens the meeting. So so I've got like, I don't know, it's crazy. I've got like 17 minutes left and I can't really fathom that much about H&I. It's really not a glorified position, but it is a very rewarding position. So what I would tell you is that what's happened in my life is that I have gone from pretty much nothing, very spiritually broken, trying to raise kids on my own. Gosh, I don't even know. I mean, not to knock it, but, you know, it's like waiting tables just to make the next, you know, month's rent, and then hoping somebody will tip me enough and not being grateful and not being, you know, I went from that person that just didn't see life as giving me any, you know, hand-ups to being through Narcotics Anonymous and working the steps, having a sponsor, being a sponsor, being active in my area, being active with the certain chairs of the area, helping out, helping get the PI pamphlets out. Through all that, and I know you guys have heard this, my life got better without my permission. It got better without my permission. Like, and I don't even, so sometimes I think about it and I think about where I'm at today, and I wanted to be I wanted to go save lives when I was like 14 years old, and I seen a car, you know, a car wreck with a bunch of my friends in it, and I didn't know what to do for them. I didn't know how to help them. I wanted to go do that. And today I get to do that. You know, I've been doing that for about the last, oh gosh, I don't even know. Since around 2004, you know, but in the status of a paramedic since about 2009. So that's another part of how I give back to my community, you know. And H&I taught me that, give back. You know, you go there, you help people. I don't just help the people who have car wrecks. You know what? I pick up a lot of people who are drunks. I pick up a lot of people who have overdosed. I pick up a lot of people who I do transports from one facility to the other, and guess where I'm taking them? You know, I'm taking them to some kind of rehab, or I'm taking them to a detox center. I'm taking them, and you know, I've shared my experience in that moment. And it's so funny because I get that look like, there's no way that you were as bad as I am. Oh yeah, dude, I went to jail. Yeah, it was bad. You know, people used to joke with me about how thin I was, because like they're like, do you have to jump around in the shower to get wet? It used to make me mad, but yeah, today that stuff's funny, right? And it's nice that they look at me and they don't think that that could have been me, you know, because I've actually been able to have a life worth living today. I just don't know. My higher power is, has been very, so here's one thing I just want to share. So every time I'm struggling with something and I'm trying to make things work out my way and it's not working no matter what I do, and it seems to be so hard to do, is I always have to pray about it, and then I get this thing that God goes, you just need to stop. It isn't time, or that's not where you need to be, or okay. And as soon as I do, the things that I need in my life, not that I want, because we all want a lot, right? But the things that I need in my life come. And sorry, it's still not time. I've still got a long time to be up here. No, the things that I need in my life are what I'm given, you know? And it's been amazing that the things that I need have actually given me just a life that is beyond my imagination. When I first got here, to think I would be where I'm at today would have blown my mind then. There's no way, you know, somebody had told me like, hey, years ago, this is where you're going to be in almost 30 years. I'd have been like, yeah, right. You know, you got to be kidding me. I'll never be that, because number one, I didn't value myself. So I had no self-worth. I had no self-confidence. I had no self-anything. Now, today, I have a lot of self-worth. I have a lot of self-confidence. And I have self, you know. I love myself today. I do believe that there are just too many miracles that happen in my life. You know, people call me out of the blue, and I go, hey, you want to go do this? And they go, yeah, that'd be great. And that's just the way it was supposed to work out, you know. And I had no intention, or it hadn't even entered my mind until something happened. But that's what, you know, my higher power does. So if I'm listening, if I'm really paying attention to that connection, it really puts me where I need to be. So with getting back to H&I, with what happened over time, it really put me in positions where I knew that's what I was supposed to be doing. I knew that's what I was supposed to be doing. Whether it was my sponsor telling me or a little itching in the back of my head that said, hey, this is what you need to go do today. I knew those were the things I needed to be doing for me, for my recovery. I don't know about for you or for your recovery, but I know for my recovery, it's really important, you know. So I'm going to keep doing what I do. I'm going to keep doing the things that I've learned here. I'm going to keep doing the things that I've learned from the people who have come before me. I was thinking about that today, too. Do you know how many predecessors I had that came before me, and they're not even here today? But there are so many times that I think about them because they made a difference. Well, I wasn't going to cry today. It's H&I. Why are you going to cry in H&I, right? But they made a difference. And those are the ones that got me involved. Those are the ones that got me involved with what needed to be going on, you know, with what needed to be going on in my life in order to give me what I have today. So, and that's what I learned, and that's who I learned from, and that's what I give, is what I learned. So, I'm not going to share another 30 minutes, Van Ray. I love you.
You're good.
Thank you guys so much. He talks a lot anyway.
All right, let's thank Ann one more time. And as our second speaker, I'm pleased to introduce Vanderay from Phoenix. Let's give him another welcome.
My name is Vanderay. I'm an addict. How much time do I have? What? 35 minutes? I thought she was going to leave me an extra 10 anyway.
I did leave you an extra 10.
Hey, how many of you guys believe that the newcomer is the most important person at any meeting? You belong in H&I. Because that's what H&I is all about. You know what I'm saying? You're taking and carrying a message to the newcomer. So, since Ann was so gracious to leave me a few extra minutes, I got to fill up some time. So I'm going to try to tie this all together, and I'm going to start because I want to identify a little bit. As a child, I was raised in a very fanatical – am I getting too close to this? I was raised in a very fanatical religious family, you know what I'm saying? And the family that I was raised in, the church that we went to, didn't believe in Christmas. We didn't watch TV. We didn't celebrate too many holidays. And as a small child, I had to wear white Levi's to school because all the sinners wore blue jeans and I needed to stand out in the crowd. I had to wear a shirt with a lapel and a pocket on it instead of a t-shirt because when I walked across the playground, the other people were supposed to be able to recognize me as that little Christian boy. So just telling you that, you know that I probably had a hard time belonging, being a part of as a kid. You know what I mean? I didn't have a TV in my home, so I didn't watch cartoons. And all the kids on the playground was talking about cartoons and movies and stuff that they were watching, and I didn't know anything about it. You know what I'm saying? I couldn't go out for sports when I was in high school. I remember when I was in junior high, I was an undefeated wrestler. I used to love to wrestle. I liked to fight. But I was undefeated. And then when I got into the ninth grade at school, the gym teacher, he wanted to put me on the varsity league as a freshman in high school, you know. And I thought that was pretty cool, and I couldn't wait to go home and tell Mom and Dad. And I damn near got my ass whipped for saying that I would do it. I had to go back and tell the guy that I couldn't do that because you had to stay after school to practice. And instead of staying after school and practicing, I could be out selling candy, peanut brittle for the ladies' auxiliary of my mom's church, or knocking on doors and inviting other little kids to come to church with me on Sunday. You know what I'm saying? So I say all that to let you understand that as a child growing up, I always wanted to be a part of something. You know what I'm saying? I never was a part of anything. I was the last one that got picked on the football team and the last one on the baseball game, all that stuff. I was just kind of isolated. I always felt alone. You know what I mean? I wasn't a part of anything. And then I was 12 years old all of a sudden. And one of the neighbor kids asked me if I'd like to save up my lunch money with him and a couple of other guys and get a bottle of wine. He knew somebody who was going to get him a bottle of wine. And this was the first opportunity I had to be a part, you know. And I said, absolutely, yeah, I'll do that, you know. And so, you know, we went to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Tuesday night, Thursday night, and Saturday night. And it was a Saturday night that they wanted to meet down by the railroad tracks with this bottle of wine, you know. And I remember the first time I was 12 years old, the first time I ever crawled out my bedroom window. You know, we got home from church about 9 o'clock, and I had to go to bed early, you know what I'm saying? And I went in there and turned out the lights and stuffed some pillows up underneath the blankets, and out the window I went. And boy, as a little Christian boy, I knew I was really sinning. You know, I was feeling really guilty, you know. But I wanted to be a part of these other guys. I was going to be one of the fellas that night, you know. And so we went over, I went down to the railroad tracks, and they hadn't even opened that bottle. It was the good shit, that screw top lid, Red Mountain wine, glass jug, you know what I'm saying? That was the good shit. I think it was like $1.27 a gallon or something like that, you know. And so when I got there, they opened the wine, and I was one of the fellas, man. And I was drinking that wine, and I found out Well, first, the police pulled up and hit his siren and flashed his lights, and they all took off running, and I got the bottle of wine. And I still got my white pinstripe shirt on from church, you know what I'm saying? And I got wine all over it, you know? They took me to jail. Well, they took me to the police department, called my mom. My mom had to come get me. I got in trouble. But one of the things that I learned when I went back to school on Monday is all the kids was my friend. Because not only did I go hang out with the fellows and party and get intoxicated, I got busted and didn't tell on nobody. You know what I mean? So I was one of the fellows. And I was accepted. And what I learned from doing that was that when I put mind-altering substances into my system so I didn't feel the way that I felt, I was a different person. And I was a funny guy. And they were talking about all this different stuff I was doing. And everybody was laughing. And so that was my beginning of becoming the addict that I became later in life. You know what I'm saying? That was the first time that I ever entered mind-altering substances to my system. And the point I was trying to make there was to be a part of something. You know what I'm saying? To be a part of something, to be able to relate to other people and understand them, you know? And that's one of the things that I've learned throughout my life, that part of being in recovery helps me to be part of somebody in H&I that the newcomers sitting out there in front of me can relate to, you know? I'll fast forward a little bit. I'll tell you guys right now, I spent 21 years of my life in the penitentiary. I've been down 5 different times. You know, I didn't do it all in one stunt. I ended up getting clean again. I went out in like 2003, I think it was, and I came back into the rooms. I've been clean since July 31st, 2005. I got a little over 14 years. And the last time that I had anything to do, I never went to, all the time I was in prison, I never went to any H&I meetings, because they always had them coming in, you know what I mean, and those were for quitters, and I didn't want to, you know, I had gotten to a point that I was one of the fellas, you know what I'm saying, I was accepted, you know, and I didn't want anybody looking down on me for trying to do something different. But I'm going to tell you something, I was tired, I was sick and tired of that friggin' life for probably 20 years before I ever got clean. You know what I'm saying? And I'm sure some of you can relate to that. But I picked up another case, and they were going to send me to federal prison. And my old lady started going to these Naranon meetings. And I got to tell you, man, I love Naranon. Naranon saved my life. You know what I'm saying? Because I came home one day, and she said, "You're cut off." You know what I'm saying? The only way that she would have anything to do with me is if I would go to this program and go through the rehab, you know, which I did. I did rehab. I didn't right then. I went down and got a letter of acceptance, a handwritten note of acceptance. And I came back and she gave me like $100 or something. And then I was gone for 2 months, you know, and the feds picked me up and I ended up back over there. But to make a long story short, when the feds picked me up, I ended up getting 47 months federal time. So I went to federal prison, but I went to federal prison clean because I'd been clean for a year before I got sentenced, you know. And let me clarify this. I got clean in 1993, and I went back out early 93. I had like 10 months and 3 weeks clean or some shit like that. And I went back out for about 2.5 years, and I got clean again in July 31st, 2005. So I was clean a year before I went to federal prison. I go to federal prison, and I'm out on the yard. When they first let me back on the yard, I'm over by the iron pile, and I'm asking somebody, "Hey, man, do they have, like, 12-step meetings or anything like that here?" You know? And some guy says, "Well, go talk to that guy Joe over there." So I go over to Joe, and I say, "Hey, man, they got any 12-step meetings?" He said, "Well, hang out. In about 15 minutes, they're going to do yard recall, and we got an NA meeting starting." You know what I'm saying? And so I went to this NA meeting, and believe it or not, but this guy sitting right here, he brought the meeting into the prison for me. You know what I'm saying? Dave H. And he would bring it in. Was it Thursday nights that you'd come in? And he would bring me a meeting every Thursday night at Narcotics Anonymous, and the following Thursday night, he'd bring it one night, and the following Thursday night, a guy named John H. would bring a meeting in. You know what I'm saying? And I'm going to tell you guys something, man. I spent a lot of time in prison, and I was clicked up and ran with all the bullshit, you know what I mean, all the propaganda. I was there. And there's a lot of people that I seen in that federal prison that knew me from yards that I was allegedly a shot caller on and been involved with me in a lot of different shit. And they met me in federal prison, and I was clean. And my cell was a cell where people would come work their steps and talk about recovery and shit. And we had like four different 12-step meetings a week at that facility, at that federal prison. And I got the opportunity to stay clean because of H&I. You know what I'm saying? When I got out of there, 12, 13 years ago, I think it was, I got involved in H&I. And I'm going to tell you something about H&I, man. If you really believe that the newcomer is the most important person in any meeting, you need to be doing H&I, because every time I take an H&I meeting every Wednesday night, and I have between 30 and 45, 46 people. You know, actually a couple weeks I had like 22 or 23, something like that, you know. But there's a bunch of guys in this facility that when they shut down the facility, they call me with the help of our H&I chair, Tim B., who's sitting back there in the back of the room right now on death row. We got it approved through our area, and I've been taking this meeting in there, and I don't miss any meetings. And one of the things that I like to do, and you can't always do this with H&I meetings, but I like to bring a speaker in. You know what I'm saying? I've done a lot of H&I meetings where we'll read an IP and discuss them, or we'll read a chapter out of the basic text or out of It Works and How and Why. Sometimes I'll even take a step working guide in and read a step and go through the things, because you see, these guys that are in this facility where I take my H&I meeting are required to do the steps. And they don't always, you know, there's like sponsors can't come in and mingle with them right now because of this Chinese plague we got going on. But I hope that wasn't inappropriate. but when you go into these guys and you're dealing with these newcomers, you need to be able to bring a message in there. You know what I mean? I like to bring a speaker in, and I actually kind of like speakers that have been out in the streets and that have only been clean 3 or 4 years. You know what I mean? You'd be surprised. Sometimes they make a lot better speakers than people like me. I've been around the program for, I've only been clean for 14 years, but I've been around for 25, you know? And I'm not such a great speaker. A lot of these newcomers, they got a fresh story to tell. You know what I'm saying? And these people can relate to it. Now, let me tell you. The reason I started talking earlier about my family and the religion and how I needed to be a part of something, I always had that urge to be a part of something. When I was in federal prison, I went through a program called the Residential Drug Abuse Program. And I think it was a 9-month program or something. I forget what it was. But here's the scoop. The facilitator of our program, his claim to fame that he never smoked a cigarette, never drank a glass of wine, never done any drugs. And this is the guy up there telling me how to change my life, turn my life around, quit being a criminal, and quit using drugs. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to tell you something. To me, that was just a pencil-neck, nickel-headed motherfucker. You know, he had nothing to say that I wanted to hear. He had not walked in my shoes. He had not stood where I stand. He hadn't felt what I felt. You know what I'm saying? I lived in a goddamn dumpster in the Tenderloin in San Francisco one time for about 6 months, and he never was freezing his ass off up there. You know what I'm saying? You know, So what are the blessings for me, one of the rewards I get from going into these facilities and taking shit in there? See, I lived in the streets. You know what I'm saying? I've been through divorces. I've had a lot of different kind of shit go on in my friggin' life. You know what I'm saying? And I can stand up behind that podium and I can talk to those guys, because I talked to them a little bit before. And I get to know little bits and things about them, and that gives me the opportunity to share some things that I think might help them. Because I'm not that nickel, that fucking pencil-neck, nickel-headed motherfucker that was my facilitator when I was in prison. I walked in their shoes. And you'd be surprised how many of them, man. Sometimes you can sit there and you can see tears running down their face because they know that somebody is up there bringing them a message that has been where they've been. You know what I'm saying? And that's one of the blessings that I get, and I believe it's one of the blessings that God allows me to bring into those meetings with them. You know what I'm saying? is one of the most rewarding service positions, and I've had most service positions in the program in Narcotics Anonymous. The most rewarding service position for me has been H&I. You know what I'm saying? And you can go in there, man, and when you leave that place, you're so full of gratitude. You know, I see myself in every one of those clients that are sitting out there in those chairs. The newcomer's the most important person because they remind me where I came from. They let me know what the heck is going on. They'll try to come up and start running all this fucking bullshit by you, and I say, hey, hold on a minute, buddy. I said, you're a newcomer, and you are the most important person in any meeting. But you don't know what the fuck you're talking about, so shut up and sit down and listen. You know what I'm saying? Because it's true, man, and we don't need somebody to tell us how to get high. We already know how to get high. You know what I mean? All I got to do is look at you and remember how I used to get high. You know, I'm one of those motherfuckers that used to come over to your house with a bag of ice and a screw gun. And you say, what are you doing? I said, I need to use your restroom. I'd go in there and close your and screw your door shut, dump a bag of ice in your bathtub, throw some water in there with it, and get one of your towels and soak it in the water. And I'd sit on the back of your toilet and hook up shots of cocaine and sit there until I'd about pass out. And then I'd fall down in there and get my arms in the cold water and put that wet towel around my neck. And I'd say, oh, that was a good one. Let me try that again. Just to the edge of death. You know what I'm saying? And some of y'all know what I'm talking about. That's the way we lived, you know. And today I don't have to live that way anymore. I found, and Aaron talked a little bit about working the steps. I found that when I worked those steps, and I learned those spiritual principles on those steps, and I try to apply those in my life every day, I got a good time in my life, man. You know, I got to this acronym. I'm kind of slow. I'm not the smartest cookie in the barrel. So I came up with this thing that says HH GROCO. Don't mean nothing to anybody but me. It means honesty, humility, gratitude, responsibility, open-mindedness, willingness, caring, objectivity. Now, I have a few guys that I have a few employees, and we do construction. And I got to tell you, employees don't always do what you ask them to. And they have a tendency to piss you off every once in a while. And until I came into this program, my slapper was well lubed and in fine working order. And you don't know how many times during the day I have to step back and say honesty, humility, gratitude, responsibility, open-mindedness, willingness, caring, objectivity, and apply those to why I'm pissed off at this motherfucker and want to slap him. You know what I'm saying? Those spiritual principles that I learned keep me. I mean, I did a lot of time for some really violent stuff, and I haven't had to do any really violent stuff in a long time. You know, and because I work and I try to live my life by these spiritual principles, am I good at it? No, I'm not good at it. But I do try. I put forth an effort. You know what I mean? I'm far from being the best recovering addict that there could be. But I'm going to tell you something. Every night, for many years, I have laid my head on my pillow and I've said this prayer. God, I am now willing to put my life into your care. Align my will with yours. Help me to recognize and carry out your will. Open my heart so I may be a free and open channel for your love. Take away my fears and doubts so I may better demonstrate your presence in my life. May your will, not mine, be done. Now, I got called here, I don't know, a month or two ago and asked if I'd come up and share. And I've never said no to Narcotics Anonymous for anything. And I didn't know what I was going to share until a few days ago. I got a phone call maybe a week ago or so, and they told me I was going to share on H&I. I said, it's fine. I don't care. Whatever you want me to share on. Since that time, and this is in all honesty to myself and to you, I haven't even thought about it. I didn't know what I was going to talk about up here. I've never actually shared on H&I before, and I had no idea what I was going to say when I walked in that room this evening. I didn't know what I was going to say when she got up here and started speaking. I just come up here and I ask the God of my understanding to give me something to say that will have y'all's attention and help you to understand the blessings that we get when we get to take meetings into newcomers. You know what I'm saying? And you know the thing about it is, man, is the rewards that I get take me an hour and a half once a week. And I live on that all week long until I have my next H&I meeting. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. You know, there's a lot of Zoom meetings right now, and I don't like them. I just don't get what I need to get out of an H&I meeting. I don't get out of a Zoom meeting. I don't get out of a Zoom meeting what I'm getting out of you guys right now, because I can feel your love right now. You know what I'm saying? I'm one of them people that wants to be in a room with somebody, you know, that wants to feel. You know, I'm a hugger. I like to hug, you know, even men sometimes, you know. But the message that I'm trying to bring right now is that if you haven't never, if you're new in the program and you don't have a year clean, I suggest you get involved as a hugger, as somebody that's a greeter at your meeting, your home group, or wherever you're at, something that you can do. And you don't know how many people that you meet. You know, for a long time, I used to sell merchandise. You know, there was no clean tie requirement to sell merchandise. You know, you take a guy that's 2 days in the dorm, steady him at the table, and have him start helping you sell merchandise. You know how many people met me behind a merchandise table selling T-shirts and hats and different stuff? It got to the point, dude, I know people all over the country when I was 5 years clean. You know what I'm saying? From people just meeting you and you talking to them and telling them your name, you know, and they see your name tag and where you're from, and they ask you how long you've been clean, and you meet a lot of people and work your way into different positions. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing like service, but for this addict, the best thing for me is to be able to be of service in H&I. I don't know how long I've been talking, but I'm going to go ahead and shut up, because I'll just keep going. And I want you guys to know that I didn't thank the committee for asking me to share, but I do want to thank the committee for asking me to come up and share some of my experience about H&I. I love H&I. It has been a blessing, a total blessing to me. You don't know, man, when I go in that room and I'm sitting there and I'm looking at these newcomers and we're sharing and answering their questions about how to work steps and what the step means to me and about spiritual principles and different things like that. It's such a rewarding experience for me. You know, it's one of the most rewarding experiences. I like to go into a meeting tonight. We're going to get to listen to my name's missing my, skipping my mind. Jimmy's not here? Oh, I might leave then. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, I just want you guys to know that H&I has been one of the greatest experiences for me, and I know it can for any of you, to be able to be around the newcomer, who is the most important person, and we learn so much from them in every meeting I go to, and I get to hang on to that. Thanks for letting me share. My name is Vander Ammon Addict.